Hi, Pam.
Hiya, John. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a slightly late start to Radio Edgy Talk. I've had a wee bit of a few technical problems today. So, this is Radio Edgy Talk. I'm John Johnson in Glasgow. And tonight I'm joined, as usual, by David Noble in Dalgety Bay in Fife, although I think he's still in Hillside Secondary School at the moment. And tonight we're delighted to be joined by Pam Curry. If you've been working online at all in Scotland over the last few years, anything to do with Glow, you or other online things, you've probably heard of Pam. So good evening, Pam.
Hi there. I'm working for Perth and Kinross just now. They've recently launched last year. Perth and Kinross kicked off a Perth City campus project, which is going along the lines of sharing advanced higher courses across four of the city schools. I became involved just as I think my post was funded through the project, but I've been developing a lot of kind of virtual elements to the campus project. Previously to that, I worked for the National Glow team, which was probably two of the best years of my professional life under the visionary watch of Andrew Brown. It was a great time to be in the Glow team. Came up with ideas and Andrew just kind of let you go with them, so I found it a really exciting place to work. And before that I was a principal teacher of English, so not the kind of traditional computery ICT route into all this online stuff, but certainly something that awoke something in me. I think it kind of, I don't know, it was one of these moments, I think, when I got involved in Glow and the whole technology thing. It was like, you know, it sounds cheesy to say you found your calling, but it certainly got me very excited about the possibilities on offer. And I think, I don't know, it seems to me just now we're kind of riding the crest of a wave towards maybe fully embracing all these possibilities in some of our schools and authorities. It's certainly what I'm hoping for anyway.
Yep, so I hope so too, Pam. I don't know if you're riding a surfboard in the crest of the wave. I can't remember what the word is when somebody falls, a wipeout.
That's right, yeah, let's hope not.
I don't think we'll go for a wipeout, but
no, let's
it's
hope
certainly
not.
An interesting swell we're on at the moment. So maybe you could start and talk a wee bit about Glow TV and explain a wee bit behind that. Some people may be listening from outside Scotland, so they might not have heard of Glow TV. What interests me is when you look at Glow TV, it seems quite a technical achievement, and as you said, you started off not from a technical background, but I think people would like to hear about Glow TV in general, and I'd just like to hear a wee bit about how you found working with the technology.
Sure. When I joined the Glow team, I mean, Glow TV wasn't an entirely original idea. Glow had web conferencing software as part of its suite of tools, you know, since its inception. At that time, it was the Maritech software. Mm-hmm. And we then, of course, moved on to Adobe Connect, which was, I don't know, much more fit for purpose in terms of what it could offer and in terms of its reliability and, you know, success in browsers, etc. So it seemed to me to present an opportunity. Instead of, we had all these web conferences anyway, they were taking place anyway all over Glow and different Glow groups, and it struck me that, you know, maybe people didn't necessarily know about them or couldn't find them because they didn't have kind of one place to go to access them. So Glow TV was really about, I suppose it was more of a marketing exercise than anywhere. It was just a way of bringing all those web conferences together into the one place and making it easy. I'm all about making it easy for people to do things, and it just made it easy for people to see what was on, what was coming up. And then, of course, we've got the ability to record the web conferences in the Adobe Connect software that we have in Glow. So it gave us a chance to do it almost, you know, not a BBC iPlayer, but as close as we could get with the tools that we had available. We were able to create a kind of watch again facility within it. And do you know something? I was actually amazed at the time in developing it. I was kind of amazed at what Glow could do. in terms of you know, organising content that way, and then filtering that content to display, you know, across different categories and across different users, etc. It was work that was inspired actually by Con Morris, and I mean Con Morris deserves a huge amount of credit for all the work he did with Go in terms of his CPD Central group. I mean he was, if anyone knows about the sort of features of Go, it was the custom list web part which really offers huge possibilities, and I think it will again in the next generation of Go. It's certainly part of the Microsoft 365 suite of tools as well. So it was just a way of adding content to a big list and then getting that list to filter the content out in some way. So we were able to filter it out in terms of different categories and also by using tags like today and me to filter it to a specific user, or indeed to, you know, a specific time period. So, yeah, great fun actually playing about with all the possibilities of that. And I think we ended up, and again, it was under the kind of the steer and the kind of vision of Andrew as well, you know, working closely with me on that just to make it happen. And yeah, I mean, it ended up very quickly becoming one of the most popular Go groups within Go. So it, you know, it's still running to this day in the absence of both Mr. Brown and myself. So it's, you know, it's
self-sustaining.
That's right. It was a sustainable project. Okay. So it's certainly proven popular.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you did is you made something which was difficult to do for teachers and pupils easy. By using the sort of facilities that were in Go that maybe we didn't, especially at the start, know even existed.
That's right, and that's why Con Morris deserves a credit really, because it was his kind of exploration initially that allowed me to see the potential of that. So it was really just a kind of further development of the stuff that Con had done. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even going to take too much credit for it really. It was all Con's genius over some Christmas holiday period that sussed it all out for the rest of us. So but yeah, and that potential is there. I mean, I was using it just today as part of my Perth City Campus project, just devising a simple way for staff to share course content across a number of different courses. And I used the same principle as GoTV, just a custom list, one list, no separate document stores for each classroom, each course, just one big list that filters out to those different courses. And I think that's where you know, we really can make it easy for people, because they've got one place to go, one form to fill in, and then that form just filters out the content to the different areas. So yeah, I'm quite excited about seeing how, I'm not a chance to play around with the new Go tools to any great degree yet, but I'm pretty sure the custom list web part is still there, and chances are it can do a lot more now than it ever could before. So I'm sure we'll see great things happening with it once more.
Sam, it's David Noble here.
Hi, David.
To have you on the show. Just a couple of quick questions. Take us through some of the kind of big wins, the big victories for Go TV. In your experience, the ones that you've been involved with that you think have kind of made a difference and maybe helped teachers to kind of buy into the idea behind it. Also, can you maybe comment whether you feel people who are using Go TV are actually using them to make a presentation or a type of presentation, whether you feel they're making anywhere near the kind of full use of the tools within the Adobe product? And would you also... I know you kind of moved away in certain respects, but are you aware of whether presenters are kind of given guidance or even training before they, you know, use a tool like Go TV, which, you know, you could argue is very different from making a presentation face to face?
Sure, yeah. I mean, to be honest, it was always something that was kind of struggling with limited resources. I mean, I was speaking to someone about it just today, a deputy from one of the Perth schools, who said that he'd watched a Go TV event and he found that the camera work was very static, and that, you know, there was potential to perhaps zoom in on, you know, on someone's face and maybe get the most out of it. And the reality was that we were struggling with people. So we didn't always have enough people to have someone devoted to the camera and someone else on, you know, the computer managing the chat, and then obviously the presenters as well. So it was done with kind of limited resources, and you know, I think you're probably right. I think, you know, many people probably don't use the full suite of tools. You know, the polls, that you can run polls, and yeah, I'm not sure everybody does do that. But certainly it's something that, you know, some people do manage to make good use of. One of the great ones, I think, that I was involved in was the Daily What News was a kind of project of mine when I worked in the GLOW team, and I worked very closely with the journalists and the education people from there, and we got them in just sort of latterly towards the end of my time there. I got the two journalists in to do a kind of Daily What News round on a Friday, and it seemed to me that they caught on to the idea very quickly. They saw the potential of the kind of surveys and the polls and the ability to have, I suppose, a group of people collaborating. And that's where the software really comes into its own, where you can have an industry expert or some kind of panel and have classes signed in and asking questions live. And that's really where you think this is great. And in that sense, it's a lot better than, you know, television could hope to be, I suppose, unless you're, you know, dealing with Twitter comments and stuff. But it was really great to see classes from all over Scotland signed in, watching, you know, a presentation from, you know, the Science Centre or indeed, the, you know, the Daily What people, and just being able to ask them questions. And, you know, schools couldn't ever hope to get all these number of industry experts and people together and into their schools. So to be able to tap into that expertise, I think, is where the real potential lies, in the collaborative sense.
I mean, I've said consistently over certainly recent months that I think GLOW TV is definitely worth checking out regularly, and just this is a kind of plug just purely because I think it's a great resource, but I've found to be a great help right across keeping an eye on what's going on in Scottish education and the work of Education Scotland, but also to keep up to date with forthcoming GLOW TV events is the Today's News email service, mm-hmm. email alert service that I've just put the lady's email address out there. All you do is you just email jenny.whitelaw@educationscotland.gov.uk and just ask to be subscribed to Today's News. And you just get very straightforward every email every day and tells you what's going on across the authorities and as well as nationally, and there's always the listings for GLOW TV, and I found that most helpful rather than actually digging into GLOW itself to find out what's coming up. So I would certainly recommend anybody to sign up to that very traditional form of electronic communication.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know one of the things, David, as well, that I found really encouraging recently is the number of... I always found that secondaries were perhaps not catered for as well as the primary sector. There was a lot of kind of, you know, fun things with more of a primary focus. And I think there's been a definite attempt to embrace things like, you know, National 4-5, to presentations to do within that, you know, things that people have to do as part of their work. And you know, these are things that we all have to do. National 4-5's coming in. There's been presentations by HMIE now, of course, in terms of, you know, inspection, preparing for inspection. There's been a lot of presentations from the assessment team about profiling and e-portfolios. So that, you know, if you can solve a problem by helping people with their work, then obviously that's a huge opportunity there with GLOW TV, and possibly something that many people don't realise that it does. And the number of recordings now must be well into the hundreds. So there's clearly a lot of, you know, historical content there. It's still worth going back and having a look at.
Do you think, Pam, one of the reasons that GLOW TV was successful, that it was possible, there was quite an easy entry level way of joining in?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think in contrast to the previous software was a bit glitchy and just a bit clunky, to use that word that's oft used in terms of GLOW. But, you know, the new software coming in, it really was. And, you know, it's not as if it's totally straightforward either. But I think it just, if all people had to do was tune in, watch, observe presentations, and then add to a chat, then it wasn't a big ask. And I think, you know, the success of it, I suppose, is testament to just how easy it was for people. It could do a lot more, but yeah, maybe having it do everything straight away is not the way forward anyway. Just keep it easy. It's one of the things, you know, John and I were speaking about just recently in our work to do with learning spaces, is, you know, make it as easy as you possibly can for people. And I think all of us who are out in schools are reminded of that all the time, that things just need to be easy, they need to be accessible, and they need to be instant.
Well, I think, again, with GLOW TV, what you have is you only need... You can keep a class active with one computer.
That's right.
And hopefully a projector. And they can start just by being an audience, and then they can go on to be an audience and maybe put something in a chat, and then they can maybe answer a question or ask a question and take it on from there. So maybe for teachers who are less confident technically, they've got something that they can do. And it's also, if the technology fails, it's quite easy just to step back from that, because it's on a screen in the class, and just step back and get back to something else, and then, you know, it drop in and out. So I think that is part of the success, as well as I think the good I was going to say advertising, not quite advertising, but the way that you spread the information about it, and the way that it was reasonably accessible once you were in GLOW. It wasn't, you didn't need to have 1,000 clicks to find the one you want or anything like that.
No.
I think it was a good start, and I wonder if we can translate that into other realms of ICT, because as you say, GLOW TV was one of the most successful, I think, bits of GLOW. And how could we translate that into other realms? How can we give people a low-hanging fruit to start with, but tempt them further up the tree?
I think that's something we have to be very aware of, you know, in terms of the new GLOW. I think it's, you know, SharePoint MS365, the new SharePoint, it can clearly do a whole load of things that we would never need it to do, as educators. And I think what's going to be really important for Education Scotland taking this forward is to make it as easy as possible, and perhaps strip out a lot of the functionality initially, or hide it, and just, you know, allow people to do the things that they really need to do.
I think hide is probably better than strip out, because you never know what people are going to use. I remember just very early in GLOW talking to a teacher, and they'd used the GLOW, the chat, which is just a basic text chat, but their kids have been writing plays and using the chat. And I thought, it's something that I would have just never thought of, you know.
Of course.
They were just live. They were using it really like you would use Etherpad or something like that. But because of the linear way a play goes, it just follows on that. And I say that was something I never...
Character.
Yeah, they just took a character each and did that. So it's a way I would have never thought of. So I think it's maybe a good idea to keep the power there somewhere so that people can get to it if they really need to.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And there's always going to be people like you, John Johnson, who likes to explore things more fully, you're right, there will always be, there are the geeky people amongst us too who want to kind of push the limits of what it can do, but yeah, I suppose when I'm thinking about the kind of average person who we meet in school, perhaps those lacking in confidence with technology, you know, show them what they need, and, you know, have other things on offer. Absolutely.
So, Pamela, can I forgive me if I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but can you maybe take us through the particular cloud site that you've been working and developing and preparing for NOAS? It seems to be inspired in many ways, I think, from the work that you've done in GLOW, and just an observation coming to this New Today. It seems to me like it would be an ideal front page for the new version of Glow. or many aspects of it would be.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, I came to my job. I had a year's contract initially with Perth and Kinross, which started in September last year. And in some ways, I thought, well, this is a really challenging time to start a job like that, because you've got a year to kind of make a difference. And it was a year in which, you know, it was a very awkward year in terms of Glow development, because, of course, we're moving into the migration. So it wasn't the kind of time where you would have wanted to develop too much within Glow as it stood, you know, kind of raw Glow, the SharePoint 2003 environment. So I saw a need to kind of, again, I'm all about making it easy. User experience for me is critical. And I don't know, maybe I'm a slow learner myself. And I think maybe that enables me to imagine how difficult other people might find things. But for me, I saw a need to make Glow, to make, because, you know, a lot of people had written off Glow and written off, you know, many, just written off completely, but there were still great things coming through for me. Things like the Twig, Glow Science content, and the Twig content, definitely worth celebrating. And the Daily What News, Glow TV, of course, but, you know, and the profiles as well, to support the e-portfolios and profiles. I thought there needed to be an easy place outside of Glow. So, you know, the whole point of AirCloud was that it was public-facing and it would kind of celebrate the good stuff and then bring people inside of Glow when they needed to access it. So it was kind of, it was almost, again, like a kind of marketing, nothing new, nothing particularly different, but just, again, almost like a marketing exercise to create what appeared to be a new environment and then took people inside as they needed to access it. And, again, making an easy way for them to access help and support as well. I mean, I was starting a job where there was only me. I was kind of really the only person working at all in ICT, and my role had a kind of very specific focus when I started. So you know, I was kind of told by my bosses, you know, you're not really going to be the person that goes around schools all day, every day, dealing with, you know, Glow password issues, etc. So I had to provide an online environment that was sustainable to support schools in, you know, in taking forward things like the profiles and e-portfolios and in accessing the Glow content that was there. So, again, it was really just about making it easy for people and presenting a kind of an environment that would encourage them to embrace digital technologies and the tools that were there.
How did you go about getting feedback from learners or adults involved in education, customers, so to speak, and what kind of feedback have you been getting so far?
I've actually been getting really positive feedback, and, you know, it's come from the strangest of places. I get emails quite regularly from people saying, I've seen your OurCloud site, I think it's great, are you planning to do this, are you planning to do that? And they're from all over Scotland, and not just from, I actually sometimes wonder if people in Perth and Kinross are actually using it. I'm not entirely sure about that. I think I've maybe got a wee bit of work to do there in just, you know, spreading the message further within my own authority. But yeah, certainly people seem to have embraced it, you know, people from all over. Seem to be seeing it as a worthwhile tool that they can use in their own authorities. I mean, it's, you know, it's for everyone. It's just a website at the end of the day. So, yeah.
You caught me out there. I actually noticed that we got a message the start of the show. I think that probably fits in with the vein of the positive feedback. Lisa Sparky, I don't actually know Lisa. But she's saying that you were a great help to her school and you were instrumental in helping her create e-profiles for pupils using Glow. And, you know, you mentioned about the e-portfolios and such like. So where are you at with that? Is that something that the AirCloud, the Perth and Kinross resource, actually allows learners to do, or is that something that has to be done through Glow?
No, I mean, AirCloud is really just a website to support people. It's not an environment of its own. It takes people into the Glow environment and to other environments. You know, I'm not totally focused on Glow and nothing else. But, you know, I've got links to iTunes U and to Khan Academy and TED Talks and stuff as well. Yeah. So it's as an authority person, Kinross, as we all do, I suppose, you know, we have this requirement to have profiling in place. And like most authorities, we chose to go down the Glow Blogs route because it was all we had available in electronic form. So, and that wasn't my role. That role was fulfilled very, very brilliantly by a lady called Kirsty Harker in Perth and Kinross. So she was the assessment development officer who took control of that. All I did with AirCloud was really put the support materials online outside of Glow so that people didn't have to go into Glow to find that help. And that to me seemed like the best thing to do. If people weren't going inside Glow, then they were never going to see the help that was available. So to have a public facing website seemed a sensible move for me.
I'm sure John's dying to come in, but I'm just going to hold the airwaves for slightly longer. But some may say a brave move in the homepage to have the online courses kind of options through MOOCs and iTunes U, you know, so prominent. Is that something that's met with any resistance, or is it coming back to you that people, and I'm thinking about, you know, the age old problem, and I'm facing it to an extent, it's an interesting challenge with those who are not due to leave us until Christmas, and I'm just wondering whether you're hearing any great stories about youngsters maybe 5 years you know, becoming self-taught and going through these various online only opportunities that exist out the vast web.
Yeah, I mean, I've got high hopes for the online courses. It just seemed to me, I mean, I was told basically at the start of my job that they wanted 4 online courses of kind of any description from me, and I spent a lot of time thinking about what to do with that, and my initial instinct was perhaps to put some kind of advanced hire online and have, you know, Perth and Kinross, a rural authority, so the notion that you could offer advanced hires online and have, you know, schools across the authority accessing them was one that I did consider. But again, it was that awkward time in Glow. Should you put a lot of effort into developing something within Glow that was then going to change dramatically in the course of this year? So I, like many people, had seen all the discussion and enthusiasm for MOOCs content, and you know, the courses are designed for 6 years. The Percity Campus programme is a 6-year programme. It's for 6 years, and it seemed to me that these MOOC courses offer a great opportunity for people to tap into tremendous expertise. I mean, we talk about the expertise in Glow TV. The MOOC expertise is phenomenal. One of the courses I'm introducing is a Udacity course that's, I can't remember his name. Is it Steve Barron, the chap that founded Reddit? Is that his name, Steve Barron? I can't even remember his name. Chap that founded Reddit delivers one of the courses. And, we've got a number of courses we're launching this year. 5 courses that all focus on digital skills, and they don't just come from MOOCs. We're using a lot of Codecademy content. I don't know if you're familiar with Codecademy, but some great stuff there. So the idea is that we've got core options in HTML and CSS, and then they go on to either app development, web development, digital media, so that's a kind of digital filming course, games development, and blogging and social media. So there's kind of 5 areas that I mean, you know, I've read the articles. The EU, I can't remember, there was a BBC article quoted the EU as alerting us to some kind of crisis in terms of ICT skills, and, you know, predicting a skills shortage of and I might be wrong with these figures, so correct me if I am, but in the region of, I think, 600,000 jobs with a skills shortfall by 2015. And the simple fact is that, you know, these technology jobs are increasing every single day, and we're not being able to keep pace with them in terms of the workforce and the skill set that they have. So I had a wee quick trawl through S1 Jobs a couple of weeks ago, and I found a number of job advertisements that made absolutely no mention of hires, made no mention of degrees, but were looking for, and they called it proficiency. So they called it proficiency in WordPress, HTML and CSS. Now, the courses that we're planning to offer next session will allow six-year pupils to demonstrate proficiency in HTML, CSS, WordPress by delivering a kind of final project. So at the end of it, we're hoping, I mean, they're not going to be assessed. There's no award. These are achievement courses. It's about practical achievements. And yeah, I've got high hopes for them. I don't know how they'll go. You know, I'm going to be providing a kind of mentor support for the first year. But I met with head teachers today, and head teachers seemed very, very enthusiastic about, you know, I think everybody realises we need to offer more flexibility in the senior phase. And it's the fact that you see jobs advertised right now looking for these skills. And if you can provide pupils with those skills when they leave school, then it can't be a bad thing.
Pam, can I maybe dig into the way that the online courses are going to be organised in person, Kinross? I'm looking at, on the AirCloud site, online courses senior phase, and then I've just clicked on one that's called Web Developer, and it's the one you say it starts with this HTML sort of fundamentals, moves on to Python, and then tells people what they need to do before they start, which is very little other than the willingness to work hard.
That's right.
Is this a course that is delivered, going to be delivered across Perth and Kinross?
I'm actually, because of where we're at with Glow just now, I am creating a course environment within Edmodo, just because I've got 10 courses and I need to get content into these areas quickly, easily, and I'm afraid Edmodo offers the best solution to me at the moment to do that. I think I'll move into Glow, to the new Glow, when it comes, but I don't have it right now. So right now I needed to use an environment that would make it easy to track and monitor, not even pupil progress, because the progress will be tracked and monitored within Codecademy, where they'll undertake most of their coding work. But you need an environment to be able to monitor how they're getting on, to be able to communicate with them, to be able to collaborate and say, you know, how are you getting on with this? How are you finding that? To give them an opportunity to raise questions and flag issues. So we're using Edmodo, but I am bringing in the Codecademy content into Edmodo. So if there's a MOOC, that will be brought into, I don't know if you've seen Edmodo, but it displays beautifully when you bring in content to folders, and then you look at a folder in Playview, and it kind of embeds external web content within the Edmodo environment. So it gives you an option to create, I suppose, a learning space that looks like it's been devised for your courses, but it's actually bringing content in from elsewhere. So that's what I'm using, and I'm using it, and I do feel slightly guilty about using Edmodo, but I'm using it because I have that need right now, and present Glow does not fulfil that need right now, so it could be a temporary thing.
Certainly.
Codecademy, the courses on Codecademy are superb. I've kind of signed up to one myself, and I get email alerts every day telling me how well I'm doing and what I need to focus on, and you know what I need to brush up on. And I'm hoping that pupils will respond well to that kind of environment.
So are you using? Is it just mainly Codecademy? Are you using other elements?
Yeah, I'm bringing in, it depends on the, I mean, obviously the app development one will need to go into, it'll need to go into the actual SDK environment for whichever app platform. And again, that's up to the pupils. I've also been looking at PhoneGap. I don't know if anyone's familiar with PhoneGap, but that seems to be an environment that will create an app for any platform and allow you to use basic web, well, not maybe not basic web skills, but to use traditional web scripting languages and to use HTML, CSS and JavaScript and not have to rely on Xcode for Apple or the Android SDK. So I'm looking at PhoneGap for that. As far as I can see it, the way the courses are structured just now, the core units will be HTML and CSS, and then they'll split into whatever their specific focus area is, probably JavaScript for many of them, and, you know, practical tasks along the way. And then around about January time, so January sort of 2014, they'll go into project mode where they start actually developing their own project. And that's where I think the real potential offers, to give them a real world context for their learning. So, you know, the expectation is that every pupil undertaking the digital, we're calling it the Perfink and Ross Digital Literacy Award. So the idea is that every pupil will undertake a big project to develop a website, to develop a blog with social media integration, to develop an app for a real world situation. You know, it could be a sports club or a band or their school or a department in the school, and that they'll have a very real experience of developing that. I'm hoping to hook up with industry as well and try and get some mentoring going on there. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Career Academies project, but Perfink and Ross is going for Career Academies this year, which seems to be a phenomenal project of you know, allowing industry to work with young people. I think there's potential in that to offer mentoring and maybe even just a kind of informal contact with business. But yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, some of our young people, if they embrace the opportunity that these courses give, I'm hoping that some of them, you know, could very realistically have proficiency in whichever scripting language and you know, web development environment, to be able to go on and actually enter the jobs marketplace from school. So the potential, I think, is there to do that.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I've dipped in and out a few MOOCs and online learning things myself, and the thing for me that's made the difference, I think, are two things that help it work. One is a sort of the project thing that you're talking about. If you're actually working on something that's real, I found trudging through Code Academy could get a bit. Well, I can manage 15 minutes, but after that, my mind begins to wander.
Yeah.
But if I do something that is project based, you can just lose days in there. But the other thing I found is that, I mean, some MOOCs have got a lot of input from organisers and mentors and things.
Mm-hmm.
And others, I mean, I started one a while ago, the Mechanical MOOC. I don't know if you saw that one.
No, I've not seen that one, no.
It was a Python, the teacher said, teach Python, but they basically had pulled together content from different places, and you marched through them, and there was things, tasks to do at various points, and there was a community aspect to it, which they had a rather nice environment for that, but there was no sort of human contact at all from the organisers, and again, it was one that, I mean, I think MOOCs people drop out. MOOCs quite, you know, there's a big dropout rate, but
yeah.
I piled out of that after a couple of weeks. And I think basically because I felt, I just hear moan and it doesn't really matter if I do something. Other ones, I mean, one that you might know about, and if you don't, you could actually take a lot of what you're doing at the moment and take it to, is the Teach the Web MOOC that's going on at the moment.
Right.
Mozilla are organising.
Ah, yes, the web MOOC.
And I think the sort of things you're talking about, they'd be really interested in the stage they're moving into actually at the moment.
Yep.
You know, and they're wanting to know how people are organising courses and doing things. But it's a very encouraging environment, I think, because the organisers are in the environment, and they're using Google Plus.
Yep.
They're in there commenting on people's work all the time and talking to them and all the rest of it, and I think that can make a big difference. I wonder, have you got the manpower to do that, or have you got the are teachers other than yourself going to be involved?
Yeah, I'm hoping to involve, and you know, this is, again, it's going to have to be on a kind of voluntary basis. Yeah. All schools are going to have someone in the school who will devote at least some of their time to kind of monitoring the online courses. I mean, these courses are not just digital. There's a kind of, there's one on beginner's Mandarin and one on beginner's Spanish. And so we're hoping to involve a Mandarin teacher, a Spanish teacher, in some kind of mentoring of that. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a whole lot of time. But I certainly, for the digital ones, I am very conscious that I don't want, you know, these people are only, you know, 17, 18 as well. And, you know, whilst it's something that they are going to have to get used to as they go to university, etc., they're maybe not quite ready to be left on their own somewhere like that just yet. So it's certainly something I'm very conscious of, is to have that kind of mentoring role. And just, you know, technology makes it easy for us to do that, doesn't it? So it should be easy enough for me to send messages to people saying, how are you getting on? Can you tell me where you're up to with that course? And, you know, I'm doing some of the courses myself just now, just to get an overview of what's involved at various different stages. So, so yeah, I hope I might be able to develop an app myself by the end of the year. Although I don't know.
I'm sure you will, Pam. I'll no give doubt about that. If you complete your course,
that's right. I need someone to mentor me.
If you can mentor yourself, it's maybe a job for some recursion in there.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's just one aspect of this our cloud that you're developing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the other thing, and David alluded to this earlier on, is that it's not just about Glow. You're obviously using Edmodo, and if I look at the logo of AirCloud,
yep,
I see the Vimeo icon, Flickr icon, Instamatic, I think that's Pinterest, YouTube, WordPress.
That's right, yeah. It's about digital technologies. Yeah. It's not just about one technology or another. It's about, you know, I'm sure you'll agree that it's really about using whichever tool suits you at a given time. So I want AirCloud to become a kind of a go-to place for people to find out about different technologies and how they can use them in the classroom. And I'm just hoping that I get time now. I mean, I've developed the site, but I've not had a lot of time to develop content for it. So I'd like to get into schools. I'd like to, you know, share what's going on in schools and use it as an environment just to share good practice as well. So, yeah, it's very much a work in progress.
So the reason I'm asking about all these different services is, in Perth and Ross, are these things all accessible for pupils and teachers?
Yes and no. That's another aspect to my work that I've been kind of taking forward this year. And when I spoke to you at the beginning, John, and talked about this kind of crest of a wave, I think, you know, I will not walk away from this year. If I do make a difference, I'll not kind of think that that's all down to me, because I think we're at the right time just now. You know, a few years ago that we might have been met with more resistance from, you know, corporate ICT departments, etc. But I think everyone, there's pressure from all services, not just from education, but, you know, other services within councils. They want to bring their devices to work as well, and they want to have wireless networks that they can access, and, you know, they want to use social media in a way that they haven't been used to doing. And I think when I say we're on a crest of a wave, I think the time is just maybe right now that, you know, it's not just us geeks who are paving the way and ranting and raving about we need web filters unblocked for X, Y and Z. I think there's a general swell of opinion now that just makes it the right time. And certainly in Perth and Kinross, we've got, you know, I've had lots of meetings with our ICT people, and they're certainly very open to changing things, and that's what, you know, we need to put policy in place first in order to do that. But we're hoping to have wireless networks in all our schools, bring your own device. Policy is written and being approved at this moment, so we are hoping to move things forward quite considerably. And I think we'll see the fruits of all of these labours as we move into next session. But yeah, we're looking for August being a big time of change, I think. And yeah, it's about preparing people for that, I suppose. So I'm hoping that AirCloud will be the go-to place, you know, to find out about which iPad apps are particularly successful with classes, and you know how you might go about bring your own device initiative in a school. So yeah, it's about sharing, I suppose, and sharing that knowledge and expertise as well.
So are there some schools in Perth and Kinross that are ready to go to bring your own? Or
yeah, we've certainly got the networking is there, and ICT have been working very hard in the last few months to sort of pave the way for that. And you know, a lot of our new schools are community campuses, so there's an added complication in some sense that the network, the wireless networks that are made available, need to be public as well. Mm-hmm. So because they're used as libraries and all the rest of it, so yes, it's a big job and there's a lot to be done, and IT are working kind of tirelessly on that right now and aiming for a kind of August start. We just need to assume that that's what we're aiming for at the moment and see how we get on with it. Schools, the way we're looking at it is that we will have policy in place. So we've rewritten the council policy on bringing on device and Wi-Fi. It was, you know, a wee bit out of date, and so that's been rewritten to sort of take account of these advances, and we'll be hoping obviously to pilot that with certain places. And then I'm one of these people that gets frustrated with kind of lengthy pilot. I just want everything to happen now. So I'm kind of hoping that we'll maybe have some kind of short pilot and then everyone can just go for it. But I'm also aware of the fact that I need to keep my council corporate hat on and realise that things need to be done properly. So yes, we're certainly putting steps in place to be ready for that across the majority of the authority. Because we're rural, we'll have difficulties with bandwidth and stuff. So
there's probably, I imagine, one or two schools that have got a very low bandwidth as the head of the hills.
That's it. On Rannoch Moor, I think, if the wind changes, things get a bit tricky. So
But, I mean, that's to be expected. It sounds like it's a really exciting time that you're working in there.
I think it is, yeah. I just hope that, you know, there's an awful lot of work to be done out. I hope we can make it happen. It certainly won't be for the want of trying.
Amy, I'm kind of aware that we're coming up to, it looks like, near the hour mark here.
I know.
And I'm just wondering, is there any other things that you're involved with that you, if you have any time left? Because that sounds quite a lot of time commitment you've talked about already, but if you have anything else you want to talk about or tell people.
Yeah, sure. Well, I developed another couple of sites, actually. Again, it's about paving the way for bring your own device. Mm-hmm. So also linked to from the Our Cloud homepage is a new site called Our Cloud Share, which is, I mean, this was just done using a WordPress blog, mm-hmm. Using a specific theme, but I really like Pinterest. Pinterest for me is just a beautiful, beautiful website, and it's just a shame it's so full of, I don't know, flowers and crocheting and stuff. I think, you know, I saw the potential for Pinterest for creating topic boards and adding video content is huge. So I thought that a kind of education version would be a good idea. And this is kind of what I was going to do on my own had I not taken on this Perth and Kinross job. But there's a new site in America who's just been given, I don't know, some like £50 million worth of venture capitalist funding, a company called Learnist, which is basically what was my idea, kind of Pinterest for learning, and they kind of got there before me. So rather than getting all that funding, I'm just doing it as part of my job now for Perth and Kinross. So I see that there's a need. I mean, I think to make it easy for people to share videos and to curate, I mean, there's loads of good stuff. We know the good stuff's there, but to be able to bring it together and curate it into areas for learning topics seems to me to be, you know, a good move, especially in terms of tablets. You know, the way Pinterest is displayed in the grid format makes it ideal for tablets and mobile devices. So yeah, I just created this site, and it doesn't work perfectly. It's a wee bit buggy in Internet Explorer, and I need to kind of look into it further. But It works great for me in Chrome, it works great in Firefox. Obviously, most of my schools are using Internet Explorer, which isn't ideal. But yeah, I'm keeping it kind of low on the radar, but already I've got a fair bit of content on there. So that system, it's eNoodles with a Z, eNoodles, eNoodlez.com, and that's /PKShare. But there's links to that from AirCloud, but it's basically a Pinterest for learning. So, and the categories I've created are curriculum for excellence categories. So, I don't know, I think the potential for it is huge again, just to... For primary teachers to create topic boards on Vikings and space, and just go to YouTube and Vimeo and bring in the video content into one place, seems to me to be something that would be worthwhile. It certainly, you know, the old topic box that gets kind of dusted down every year and brought out all the wee scraps of paper and everything, that, you know, I suppose it's like a virtual topic box. And, you know, I found content on YouTube and gathering together stuff for this. I found stuff on YouTube that I didn't know existed, you know, an English teacher, an enthusiastic English teacher somewhere, creating, you know, video content on just about every aspect of higher English. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know if people necessarily know about it. He only had something like 40 YouTube views on his YouTube channel. So to be able to bring that kind of stuff into one place for pupils, and, you know, as we move towards flipped and blended learning, seems to be a good step forward. So yeah, I'd be happy for people to get involved in our Cloud Share and just start creating their own boards and adding content, because it can only be useful.
So does this work off Pinterest, or is it developed independently?
No, it's totally separate from Pinterest. It's just kind of mimics it, I suppose. It just copies it. Right. copies its style and functionality.
So you're using WordPress to do this?
Yeah, it's WordPress. It's a WordPress with a specific theme that some clever person, not me, has designed this theme. And all I did a wee bit of CSS work just to get things standing out a wee bit better. But yeah, I mean, it's got the bookmarklet functionality. You can drag the little share button onto your bookmark browser and then just go to YouTube and hit the button, and it'll bring up the window and allow you to add it to one of your topic boards. So,
if I went and used it, would it work for me?
Absolutely, yeah.
Do I need to log on for the site, or?
Yeah, you need to create an account. Yeah, so you can create an account. I've got it running with Facebook and Twitter login, so it's either an email or a Facebook and Twitter login. Also been exploring the possibility using a Glow login. Mm-hmm. So that's something of, you know, Shibboleth and all that. It's not something I've been able to explore yet, but I've had kind of early talks with people from RM about, you know, seeing if we could get that sorted. I think that would be pretty useful.
Wrestle Charlie Love to the ground, because
we can do that easy, can't we?
He's managed to bring that into his Glue site. You can sign on with it with Glue login, so I guess he'd be the man to go to for that.
He would be.
So that sounds fantastic. What we can do is we can pop the notes to AirCloud into the show notes, because its URL is a Glue blog, and to the Ed Noodle site, once I've got the spelling off pat, I can pop that in as well. And that really, I didn't, when I reviewed it before tonight, and I thought it was some way of you populating the site via Pinterest. I didn't realise that it's a complete venture in itself, and that really sounds very interesting and exciting. I think especially the way that younger people seem to go to video as a method of learning.
That's right. Yeah.
Where maybe people as old as myself would read something. The children now seem to definitely absorb through YouTube.
And when you're on a small device, video is the perfect medium, isn't it? You know, it's difficult to read text on a phone, but a video comes across really well. So as we move across to, you know, mobile devices, I think video has to be a big part of that.
Of course, audio is even better because you don't even need to use your eyes, and you can do that when you're doing other things.
Absolutely. I should have thought about that before the words came out of my mouth. I'm terribly sorry. But you're absolutely right.
So audio. You can wash the dishes while you're listening to Audio Top.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Pamela,
John and Pamela, this is probably the wrong time to pose this question, but I don't believe that during tonight's show we've actually really just clarified for listeners who are maybe on the fringes of GLOW, shall we say. And I know, John, you covered this in a show a few weeks ago when I wasn't around, but can we just put all this in context very briefly about exactly where we're at or where we believe ourselves to be at with GLOW and New GLOW or whatever we're going to be calling it?
Wow, yes. that's quite a hard question. Do you want a shot at that, Pam, and then I'll have a shot if I can think of something.
As far as I can understand it, we're on the path towards migration into Microsoft Office Online 365, the new SharePoint. It's as up to date as it possibly can be, I think. Is it Wave 15, John? Is that the right?
I believe Wave
version?
15 is the version. So it's the latest SharePoint, and from brief looks I've had, it looks in some ways like GLOW, but somewhat easier to use if you've got some technical interest, I think, at the moment. And I know Con Morris and other people are working quite hard to try and make things simple. And it also seems to have some features which are more social media type friendly. The sort of streams of chat. I'm just wondering about the longer term, how this fits in with the plans from the ICT and Excellence, which I believe have been reviewed by the government and things. So
that's right. And we don't. None of us know the answer to that, do we? It's something that you do worry that you'd be investing time and effort into, you know, training and devising new sites and, you know, creating a look and feel, making it easy for people, and for it all to change again would be trying.
That's a good word. Yes.
But yeah, who knows? It's been a funny old time these last couple of years, and I just hope that GLOW manages to survive in some way, shape, or form, and make it easy for people to do stuff. Because at the moment, Edmodo is making it very, very easy for people to do the things that they need to do, and I think that's what New GLOW is up against. It's up against things like Edmodo, just because they're so easy and so quick.
I think I've always thought that there's a great deal to be said for a national solution, but it needs to be as good as whatever else we've got. And it needs, I think we were talking earlier about GLOW TV, the way it facilitated people to start using technology. So we need technology that will still do that, that is as easy to use as the tools that people use every day. Because even the most technophobic teacher now seems to be on Facebook.
And, you know, people are, it's funny because, you know, we spent years going out and as development officers trying to encourage people to use GLOW, and, you know, people are almost using Edmodo without any encouragement whatsoever. It's almost like, you know, there are, and some authorities, I think they've been discouraged from using it, but they're using it anyway. Mm. I think if we can get to that, then we know we've been successful, I think.
Well, I know in the authority I work in that it's probably a no-no at the moment. The way that the data policies and things and where we host data makes it difficult to use these services. But who knows if that'll change or not. That's not really a great answer, was it, David?
No, it wasn't the best, but we tried.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having a go.
So anyway, can we just say thanks very much, Pam, for coming on. It was really interesting. Certainly I learned quite a lot about different things and aspects of your work that were not completely apparent to me, and you seem to do a fantastic job. It's very hard to believe when you look at the iCloud site and your other sites that it's the work of one person. So Perth and Kinross, I think I've lucked in the amount of work they're getting out of you there. So thank you very much.
I'll need to ease off next year.
Don't do too much.
Did I just say that publicly?
Publicly. We'll beep that out later.
That's right. No, it's been an absolute pleasure, chaps. I wondered how I was going to get through the half an hour, but I think we've clearly managed.
Yeah. So next week, David, we've got a recording
we won't see yet because it's not in the bag, shall we speak, but there's still to be, but yeah, we're just waiting for final confirmation. But we should have a very interesting pre-recorded session next Wednesday.
Right, because
there'll be further details out on the site, hopefully in the next few days, and obviously on Twitter. What else have we got lined up, John, before the holidays?
After that, on the, I thought the dates are wrong on the site at the moment, so we'll need to update that later tonight. Well, they're not wrong, but they're not in the dates. After that, I think we've got Katie Barrowman, who's going to be talking about, on the early in June, we've got quite an interesting one, the Inside Learning podcast, which I think the longest running UK educational podcast, have invited us to sort of take part in a joint podcast, radiocast, broadcast. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And we've got Katie Barrowman coming up, who's going to be talking about zombies in plain English, which is quite a interesting title. It may be interest yourself, Pam. I don't know if you maybe talked to Katie about it, but as an ex-English teacher, I'm quite surprised on the texts that English teachers are looking at now compared to the ones that they did when I was at school. Maybe I would have had a better English higher result if we've been talking about zombies. I don't know.
They love zombies. Kids love zombies. I don't know why.
It just seems to be the thing that attracts or so many different bits and pieces. But the ideas, which Katie had tweeted about occasionally and I've had a wee chat to her about, are just fantastic. So she'll be on the 12th of June. The Inside Learning one is the 19th of June.
Brilliant. And so, there's another residential childcare event coming up that will hopefully broadcast live from, if we can get a Wi-Fi signal. And I'm trying to think, I think that's when we've got the Festival of Dangerous Ideas coming up as well, that hopefully we'll be able to have some kind of live presence at. Last year, maybe we tried it out last year, and hopefully we'll be able to do that again this year. I believe we've had an invitation extended to us, so lots of one. But I would probably say, John, that there seems to be a couple of slots free up until the start of the summer holidays. So, as ever, if listeners have got any suggestions, if you'd like to appear on the show, or if you've got suggestions of people we might go after and try and persuade to give up a bit of their time, then just get in touch.
Yep. So we'll just say, I think, to everybody out there listening, good night and thank you for listening. If you've got anything you'd like to ask Pam about, I'm sure you could tweet her. Your Twitter name, Pam, is?
It's at PamCurry71. It's PamCurryIE. So it's CURRIE at PamCurry71.
71.
I know. A mistake revealing my age.
I was going to say, you're so young.
That's it.
It's scary talking to people as young as that. So we'll say goodnight, folks.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Good night.